The following programming is sponsored by Mark Salvasian, Esquire. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
This is Liberty Bell Smack with your hosts, Mark Mancini, Sal Tartaglia, and Marianne Castello. Talking everything sports, everything Philly style. Liberty Bell Smack, right here, right now. That's right. You are listening to Liberty Bell Smack. It's the lip smack in trash talking good Philadelphia style right here on WWDBAM Talk 860. I'm Marianne Castello, your host, and know that we are here every Thursday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's primetime drive time here in the East. And you can listen five ways, whichever works best for you. You can tune in to WWDBAM Talk 860. But if we've gone dark, you could still find us on HD2 radio stations 97.5, or you could download the WWDB radio app so you can listen to us anytime, anywhere, or go to WWDBAM.com and click Listen Live. You could also call to listen or talk to us or our special guests at any time at 888-329-3306. And without further ado, he is a broadcast vet, born in Pittsburgh, but raised in sunny L.A. You know him from his years in the ring with Extreme Professional Wrestling on TV. He's got over 17 years behind the mic, from San Diego to Los Angeles with SiriusXM, the SB Nation American Forces Network, and now Philly on WWDBAM, as well as the Saucy Spin online radio show and the Breaking It Down podcast. If it's sports, he's done it, or he knows all about it. Let's welcome our host, Mr. Mark Mancini. Hey, Mark.
I'm feeling really good in Philly. The Lakers are here, man. I'm going to take the Rocky statue. I'm going to put it right down there near the old vet, eating some cheesesteaks, Geno's, Pat's, man. Everything's looking good. So blessed to be a part of this great show again this week.
Well, I suggest we go get some cheesesteaks. He's sitting right there in the city of brotherly love, and that he is a product of the schools and playing fields of Drexel Hills, Delaware County, by way of Southwest Philadelphia. He's been in the Navy. He's been in the construction industry and was a nuclear medicine tech. And while doing all of that, he even had time to compile over 30 years of highlights and stats of World Series games and publish his first book, World Series Chronology. While doing press for the book, he developed a taste for broadcasting, and he is here. Let's welcome our host, Sal Tartaglia. Hey, Sal.
Hey, Mayor. Hi, Philly. Yeah, those cheesesteaks you're talking about, Mark, they got to have long hots on them, or I'm not bringing them. I'm stoked.
Hey, you gotta start teasing the listeners and have, you know, show it, you know, tell them how to
bring one in,
on the air, describe them.
Eat it live.
Yeah.
We can. But before we do that, I have a more serious note that I'd like to talk about really quick. We had this week unexpected news of a death of one of our special friends and colleagues, and he was the co-host of MLB Diamond Talk Coast to Coast radio show and very well known in the business, Mr. Mike Paternoster. And we liked here on Liberty Bell Smack for all of his friends here in the Philly area to have a moment of silence to honor Mike at this time, please. We may he rest in peace. Our prayers are with his family, and he was the sole provider for his family. So they have set up a GoFundMe page to help with funeral expenses and other expenses the funeral has come into right now. And if you feel you would like to donate or even just offer your prayers and thoughts, you can go to GoFundMe.com, click search, type in funeral expenses by Alvarez Aguiar Families. That's Alvarez, A-L-V-A-R-E-Z, last name Aguiar, that's A-G-U-I-A-R. Again, it's Alvarez Aguiar Families, that's Alvarez, A-L-V-A-R-E-Z, Aguiar, A-G-U-I-A-R. So you go to GoFundMe.com, click search, type in funeral expenses by Alvarez Aguiar Families, and that will take you right to where you would need to be to help out the family. And all of our thoughts and prayers are with Mike Paternoster's family. Thank you. Special friends.
Unbelievable. Yeah. It well said, Mary. And I could have put in better words than how you did it.
Well, thank you. And on another note, we still have to get cracking. We have a show here to do. And speaking of cracking, if I was to crack up my vehicle, what do I do, Sal?
I would recommend that you take that vehicle to JT Auto Body. JT has a gifted repair team that will have your car looking and running like new. Owner Joey Trainer has been servicing the Delaware County area for decades from his shop at 416 Primus Avenue in Fulcroft between Hook Road and McDade Boulevard. Call them at 610-534-1643 and tell them Sal sent you.
Okay. Well, with that, and now that we're all fixed up here, we're going to get right to our first guest. He is a graduate of California State University at Northridge and has been a Los Angeles broadcaster with expertise in sports history, sports business, sports handicapping, sports betting, and politics for over four decades. He hosted the Los Angeles Dodgers pre- and post-game shows on KABC Radio for many years around the broadcast of Dodgers play-by-play man Vince Scully. He also hosted for the Los Angeles Angels, Los Angeles Kings, and UCLA basketball. He's hosted sports talk radio shows on numerous LA radio stations, including KABC, KFI, KCAA, KLAC, KIEV, KFOX, and 1150 AM in Los Angeles. Shows he has hosted are Dodger Talk, Angel Talk, Kings Talk, and Bruins Talk. In addition, from his radio studio in Los Angeles home, he has hosted sports talk radio shows in other local markets, including nationally on the American Sports Radio Network, Prime Sports, the Cable Radio Network, the Business Talk Radio Network, Sports Overnight America, the Sports America Radio Network, Sports Byline, and Fox Sports. He's currently hosting sports talk radio shows in three markets, including Los Angeles, Phoenix, and Las Vegas, and has been seen on television on ESPN and Fox Sports as a frequent sports analyst. In 2012, he was featured daily on Sports Biz Update, giving 2 minutes to listeners for headlines and what was going on in the world of sports business. Having hosted radio shows on sports betting and poker, he has become the expert on gambling. He has an uncanny knack for making accurate predictions on sports events and uncovers lucrative opportunities for wagering on them, which has developed him a following both locally and nationally as a top sports handicapper. He's been named as the official sports handicapper for gambling911.com. Presently, he hosts Sports Overnight America on Sirius XM 211 and many other stations as well, Football Forecast Weekly. He can be heard on LA Sports Business as he takes you deep into exciting, crazy, and uber successful business of Los Angeles sports on Believe, the number one podcast network for professionals. And did you know our guest hosted a 5.5-hour post-game show on KABC the night Kirk Gibson went deep against the A's in the 1988 World Series? And now, even though he hates flying, as quick as that Liberty Bell rings, he is here for a pre-game, play-by-play, and post-game interview all within minutes. Let's have a big Liberty Bell smack welcome to Fred Wallen. Hey, Fred.
Fred, baby.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Fred. How
you
are
know,
you?
That's remarkable since I'm only 39 years old.
Yeah, away. Right?
Great.
No substitute for experience.
Absolutely.
Guess not. But you know what? Let's be serious. Let's be serious. Marianne just told us about the death of Phil, and somebody once said here in Los Angeles radio that sports is really the toy department, and it certainly is. I mean, most of the time, sports should basically be an afterthought. But now with COVID, it's more than that. But you can die any moment. So you live every day because you never know if you have tomorrow. And Marianne, you made us cry over here. And I didn't know Phil, but the point is, I'm sure, I mean, you indicated he was the breadwinner for the family. And I do hope that the GoFundMe works for the family very well. But that's not the same as having Phil back. And so, with that dour note, let's go.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And
You know, Fred, the first thing I want to say to you is you opened up an opportunity for me at that station years ago. And what I noticed about you is you're humble. You don't, you know, I these accolades that Marianne is laying out for you, man, I don't even know where to start. I might want to start with the post game after Kirk Gibson hit that shot that was heard around us country off of Dennis Eckersley. Talk about that, because that's right up there in baseball lore history. And then you sit there and run a post game 5.5 hours later. Half the people were in the parking lot. They had to repark and run back in the stadium.
So usually on KBC, we did a 1 hour post game show. But that night, the general manager, after Gibson hits the home run, he turns to me and he says, "You're going as long as the calls continue." We went 5.5. We could have gone 8.5. Calls were still there, but he said, let's take a end to this. And it was interesting too, from the point of view that I was single at the time and I had a girlfriend who hated baseball. She didn't want to go to the game. And I said, "Oh, come on, start at 5:30 Pacific. You'll be home by 10. And, you know, and anyway, she got home at 3 and ended our relationship. But fortunately I found Sandy. So it really didn't matter in the long run. But the point was, it still was sort of funny. Gibson's home run wrecked my relationship in 1988. But again, I mean, that was a tremendous season for the Dodgers. And of course, they don't win for 32 years later. And they win in the short season, the 60-game season during the pandemic. And, you know, a long time between victories for a major market club like the LA Dodgers.
Yeah. And, you know, when you look at that and all the years of experience you have, I know you've been to some cities and, you know, you like Portland, but the rain was a little too much there. But was there any city across this country that you've been to that you thought, okay, this will be a nice place to reside, but now you're out there and not too far from where I am in Westlake, California. What's your take on the whole journey of radio and until what it is now today in your experiences?
Okay. First of all, I love Portland. The only negative was it rained every day. And Mark and Marianne and Joey and whatever, if it drizzled, they wouldn't even count it as rain. But it rained every single day. And it's like, my politics are like the people in Portland's politics. I got along with everybody. It's a beautiful city. I lived in a place called Lake Oswego, which is like the Beverly Hills of Los Angeles. Okay. $400 a month in 1985, but it rained every single day. And it just was depressing from that aspect. So I came home, and I'm not an outdoorsman. And a lot of people in Portland, you know, like shooting, well, they like duck hunting and things like that. And that's not me. So that's the only negative. The negative was rain. And so we came home after 6.5 months, but it's a great radio station, KX in Portland. And if I had a choice of anywhere on earth to live, and I'm not a traveler, as Marianne indicated, Mark indicated, Lake Tahoe. I when Sandy and I have gone up there, and of course I went up there many times before that, that's my favorite place I think I've ever been. I'm not a traveler, but of the places I've been, I do like Lake Tahoe, California, Nevada, because part of it's in Tahoe, is in California, and part of it's in Nevada, but Lake Tahoe and Reno is a great place to be.
Fred, your affinity for Portland made me laugh. It sounds like a little town in the southwest corner of our state, Pennsylvania. I don't want to throw them under the bus and name them, but they grow mushrooms. And the town is great. There's a whole lot of new construction there, and you can get a house for next to nothing. It's just that it smells like manure because of the mushrooms. anyway, to segue into what I really wanted to ask you, I'm sorry. I was listening to your last rebroadcast on the Believe.com network, and I believe it was from January 11th, but I think it was a rebroadcast because you were talking to someone with respect to the Giants manager, Gabe Kepler, and his right-handed or left-handed predominant lineup against the, you know, the opposing pitcher, meaning if he threw from the opposing hand or not. And my question about that was, because the caller was or your guest was even speaking about Kepler. He did the same thing in Philly, and he was an idiot, and now he's a genius in Frisco. So I'm just curious. We did the same thing here in Philadelphia with Francona. We let him go, and he went to Boston and turn that around. So I'm just curious, how did the fans generally take Kapler lately? I know he won, you know, almost got in the World Series and all, but independent of that, leading up till the postseason, were they upset with his analytics? Were they impressed that he turned a corner?
Well, you know, I'm in L.A., but he was well-liked when he was in the Dodger organization. He really was well-liked. In San Francisco, they won 107 regular season games, and they win two playoff games. The Dodgers had more talent than the Giants. So I don't see how anybody, and very few newspaper writers or anything, press up there, did not get on Kapler at all that I read. And so from that end, you know, look, first of all, you got to give a guy a shot. I don't think he had a really fair shot in Philly. Right. And you can't judge anything on 1 year in San Francisco either. So you got to just see over a career, see how a guy does. And again, it's not like brain surgery. If they get rid of the DH, it's even less of a situation where the manager has much to say. So a lot of it, most of it has to do with the players. But he did, with what he had, it was a magical year for the San Francisco Giants. And again, I'm a Dodger fan since the age of five, but you have to notice how well they played last year, and the Dodgers happened to beat them. And I laughed about to my Giant friends, but I thought he did a great job.
Yeah. I noticed that your Sirius station, you're based out of Thousand Oaks, California, right? Which is up near Frisco. And I was just curious where your allegiance lied with the Niners and the Rams playing this week, but that's not what I wanted to ask.
Hey, hang on, let me just interrupt you.
Sure.
I have my San Francisco 49ers sweatshirt on. I am the world's biggest Ram fan since the age of five. Also, the reason I have the 49er sweatshirt on is because last week, for the very first time in my life, I rooted for them because they were up against the immunized one. In Aaron Rodgers. And that's a true story. It's the only time in my life, we're talking 50 plus years of rooting for a team, of rooting for the Giants. Yeah. Could never do that. My dad he was born in Chicago. He was a Cubs fan. And then when Jackie Robinson was signed by the Dodgers, he moved over and became a Dodger fan. So I was a Dodger fan at the age of 4 or 5. He points his finger at the TV one day, and he said, that's the best player in baseball. And I swore to God, and I got a picture over here of Duke Snyder. Snyder hits a home run. So I magically became a Snyder fan for the rest of my life. End of story.
Your Believe.com, LA sports and business, history, betting, politics, you involve a lot of different things on that landscape. And I'm curious with respect to the NCAA, giving students the right to sell their images and all. How do you feel about that? I mean, a lot of people think the scholarship is reward enough. What is your take on letting the amateurs actually earn a living now from their?
Well, the scholarship is worth a lot. Stanford, it's worth more than $75,000 a year, but it's not enough to live on. And the NCAA never wanted to do the right thing and pay the kids more. So what they've done here is they said, okay, you're not going to take any money from the NCAA or from the individual schools. You're going to go out and get your own money. So it doesn't cost them anything. But I don't like the fact that there's going to be quarterbacks that are making $1 million a year, and there's going to be second team defensive tackles that make nothing.
Right.
And when you throw that into the fact that everybody's pushing gambling, and I'm totally into gambling. So again, my dad got me involved at the age of five, but there's going to be a problem. I guarantee you somebody's going to go up to some defensive tackle who's not making anything. And he says, you want to make some money? And, or wide receiver who's making very little, you want to drop a pass or two? And there's going to be a gambling thing like we had in 51, 52 with CCNY. And later, of course, also in college basketball, there's going to be a problem. And again, I'm pro gambling, pro wagering, but because of what the NCAA has done, you can't go to a professional player because they're making so much money that you couldn't pay them enough probably to cheat and lose the game on purpose.
Right.
But you could go to a college kid who's not making much, mm-hmm. and the guy next to him, it could be making $500,000 or $1 million, and there's going to be a problem.
Well,
Well, I can guarantee if anybody's wagering any bets, they would be a guaranteed winner every week. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Liberty Bell Smack, and you can listen to us right here on HD2 radio station 97.5 or the WWDB radio app, or call and talk to our guests at 888-329-3306. And if you don't have those ways, you could find us on WWDBAM's Facebook page, as well as the Liberty Bell Smack page right now. Back to you, Sal.
Yeah, one last thing with your the betting thing that you become a pretty expert at. I never got involved with betting too much, but they say on your podcast, you get the perspective, you feature a specific game, and you might have an insight from an opposing player. Is this factual? Can you do that? I mean, it sounds illegal. you get insights from an opposing player on a betting pod.
Well, again, I mean, if you know somebody on the inside,
yeah,
they're going to tell you how they think the team is going to play. But being objective about this, and most of the time they're going to say positives.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
They're totally off base. But since Mark opened this up, I must say this. Mark happens to be, folks, here's the situation. Every Thursday, if you listen to this show, and you should be listening to this show, Mark gives you a pick. Like this Sunday, if he says, take the 49ers, you go out, bet your house on the right, quit your job. You'll never have to work again. I guarantee it. Mark is the world's worst sports handicap. There's no question about it. He hits about one out of three. And I've known him a long time. Doesn't do any better than that. I'm telling you, whatever he says right here now, quit your job. You got to get a bigger home. It's a done deal. You got to listen to the show every week, because Mark is right on target. Just bet the other way.
That's funny. Hey,
can I get a residual on that? hey, Fred, I know you're up against the clock real fast, and we'll get in it with Joey here momentarily, because I know you got to get going. But baseball wants it both ways here, man. We just saw they added David Ortiz to the Hall of Fame, and they kept we got the home run hitter kept out. The all-time hit leader kept out. God, it's won seven Cy Youngs kept out. How come Bud Selig gets a pass?
because they're inconsistent, and it is hypocritical. However, I think the fan has to know or has to think that the game's on the up and up. And if you've got some players on PEDs and most of the players not, you need to know that. And I'm just telling you up front, I would never vote for Pete Rose. I would never vote for Bonds. I wouldn't have voted for Ortiz, because he was involved in that. We knew that. We heard that in 2003. The thing was, Ortiz is really a nice guy. He gets along with all the members of the press. By the way, also, people don't understand this. The Hall of Famers that are alive are also voting. So it's not just the members of the press that locked out Barry Bonds and Schilling and Clemens and the rest. It's also former players. Remember Henry Aaron, when he was alive, he said it's unfair. And again, he had something to hear with the 755, but he said it's unfair to Bonds have the home run record because he was on PEDs. And this is the man, Henry Aaron, when he broke Babe Ruth's record, he got thousands of racist letters at his house and things like that, and scary situations, people coming to his front door because no white guy wanted him to beat the great Babe Ruth, and he had to go through that. And again, everybody's got an ego, so that may have played a part in it. But I agree with him that 762, and I don't care if people say, well, he had 400 before he took the PEDs. We don't know that.
Well,
we just know that after the fact he did. We don't know if he wasn't taking things before. His father, Bobby Bonds, in the middle of baseball, very fine player in his own right. I mean, they would know how to get it. So no, I'd vote no, 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 and no, forever.
That's all conjecture, though, because he played 162, Babe played 154, the relief pitcher,
sure,
after the stuff. So it could go on and on, but that's what makes baseball great, conjecture, you know?
Oh, sure.
what makes baseball great, Mr. Fred Walland, and all his sports coverage. And I know that you were up against the clock, and we have reached that time for you, and we don't want to make you late and then blame Liberty Bell Smack.
Yeah. Hey, guys, Mark and Marianne and Joey, thank you guys very, very much. And I don't have to travel too much because I'm going to sit in the exact same seat in 10 minutes. Thank you, guys. I can't do this again. That's okay with you.
Nice to meet you, Fred.
Thank you so much. And we'd love to see you again on Liberty Bell Smack.
Love you, Fred.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. And if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Liberty Bell Smack. That was the great Fred Wallen live here. And right now we have a caller on the line patiently waiting to talk to us. Todd, are you there? How are you? Welcome to Liberty Bell Smack. It's great to hear your voice.
Hey, thank you. Good to hear yours, too.
Thank you. Do you have a question?
What's on your mind, brother?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Do you think Barry Bonds should be left out? Hey, listen, baseball was good in 94, you know, when after the strike season, that we had, you know, Chicks Dig the Long Ball with Sosa and McGuire. Everybody was watching baseball. It was better then than it is now. So why are we keeping guys that resurrected this sport out of the Hall of Fame?
Well, there's obviously an agenda. It's the steroid agenda. And I mean, honestly, I think all of them belong. Clemens, Bonds, Pete Rose. I mean, I could go on and on. All these guys that have some controversy, they belong in the Hall of Fame. They have Hall of Fame numbers. Barry Bonds had Hall of Fame numbers before he even started doing whatever it is that he was doing. I mean, nothing has been totally proven to whether these players did or not. A lot of players did do it. We don't know about it, and they're in the Hall of Fame, and then some others are penalized because they have been accused or caught or however, and they're not. And to me, you have to put him in the Hall of Fame without any question at all. You know, Curt Schilling belongs in the Hall of Fame. I know he's had some controversy and things like that when he was working for ESPN. But let me tell you, he's a Hall of Fame big game pitcher. You know, when the game was on the line, he wanted the ball and he wanted to be on the rubber and the bloody sock and what he did for the Red Sox, and then Bonds. I mean, Bonds was so good when he was playing Atlanta, Tom Glavine decided to go and, you know, just potentially walk him with the bases loaded. Why just give up one run instead of potentially three or four?
Yeah.
So the respect is there from the players. I know there's a lot of animosity between some players that were not taking it, some were. But, you know, a lot of that stuff is created, of course, the media. They have folks, writers or whatever, they have vendettas against certain players, so they're not going to vote for them. So,
all right, Todd, we have to switch the station break. I do agree with you, and I'd just like to say in closing that the NBA, the NFL, and the NHL, none of them have this requirement, this character requirement to get in their hall. So let's leave it at that. I think, Mayor, you have a station break?
Yes, we do. And I have to tell you, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to that lip smack and trash talking good Philadelphia style Liberty Bell Smack with another guest waiting in our green room. And before we get to him, I know that we have stopped traffic already on this show. And unfortunately, I might have hit a little crack, bash, boom, bang. How can we take care of that, Sal?
Yeah, I have a friend that has an auto body shop. It's located at 416 Promise Avenue in Fulcroft, and it's called JT Auto Body. And let me tell you, they will make you think that your car never had any dents. Owner Joey Trainer has assembled a championship team of certified technicians that will have your car back to you operating safely with that showroom look. Call them at 610-534-1643. Tell them Sal sent you.
Well, I have to tell you, Sal, we have a gentleman who got a little body work done. He's got a new hairstyle, all kinds of thing. And our next guest is originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He is a baseball coach, podcast host, and author. His biggest love in life is baseball. He played it from sunrise to sunset for 12 years. He coached it. He's written about it and has watched thousands of baseball games. In 2009, he authored a self-published book, Two Loves, The Story of a Baseball Polygamist, which he traces the ups and downs of his two beloved teams, the Milwaukee Brewers and the New York Mets. It's written in diary form over the course of more than 300 pages about his connection with the game and what it meant to him during various stages of his life. Then, in 2014, he kept dreaming about baseball, which inspired him to become the creator and host of his own podcast show that can be seen on YouTube, Utopian Baseball Universe, which features four divisions, East, North, West, and South, eight teams to a division, and adding a team from the past, Montreal Expos, and a minor league team, the Durham Bulls, featured in the film Bull Durham. The show simulates a 156-game schedule, 12 games versus every divisional opponent equaling 84 games, three games against every other team in the league, which is 72 games, where every team will visit every other's team park every other year, every team having one day off during the week. You got all that? And besides that, he also discusses the games played, sports history, playoff and World Series replays, and even makes specialty baseball cards for players. He has been featured on various baseball talk show hosts and podcasts, including Just Another Baseball podcast by Jack Dudar and Greg Schneider, talking about his projects, all things baseball, past and present, and the state of baseball and the issues. He is also partnered with podcaster Stan Phillips of New York Mets Baseball, A Way of Life, which is a daily baseball show and may be the leading daily baseball site on Facebook, where he and Phillips discuss his utopian baseball simulation platform, baseball knowledge, and history. And rumor has it, he may be a passionate fan of the Cleveland Browns in the NFL. How did he get in our house in Philly tonight? By winning a bet off the world's worst handicapper, our very own Mark Mancini. Let's welcome Joey Buchholz to Liberty Bell Smack. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it going? I just got to say real quick, after that introduction, I am now convinced that you guys know I stole their fruit roll-up in first grade.
I didn't want to say that.
I heard the charge was dismissed.
I'm telling you what's going to happen, Joey. And Sal, people listen to the show in Philly, and they're going to grab Marianne. She just breaks these things down. She should be a keynote speaker here.
Yeah, she's the best.
Unbelievable.
She's the best.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, you know, Joey, the first thing, why don't you let everybody know how I lost that bet? Because Philly's trying to figure this out.
So, as Fred said earlier, Mark is a terrible handicapper, and I follow Mark pretty closely on social media. And Mark said, "Hey, Steelers going to win straight up this weekend." And I said, "You know what? Usually I kind of bite my lip here. I think the Chiefs are going to cover. Let's say if the Chiefs cover, I show up on your show, and if the Steelers win outright, you take over the Utopian Baseball Universe." And well, here we are.
Yeah, unbelievable. I thought I had that in the bag. 7-1 odds on that game I had. I was licking my chops on that one, but yep, fell short. And that coin phrase that Fred Wallen started keeps on going. Let me ask you about the Utopian Baseball Universe. This is amazing. You're in Milwaukee, joining us in Philly tonight. But when I look at the Milwaukee Brewers teams of all the years, I got to talk about the 82 team there. That had to be the best Brewer team I ever saw. Any thought on Bambi's Brewers and, coming up short against St. Louis?
So the funny thing is that 82 team, I was 6 years old and my whole family watched it all season, watched the World Series. You're not even going to believe this. I didn't watch a single second of it. It wasn't until the day after they lost the World Series that I saw the newspaper. It was Gorman Thomas. He had struck out. I think Bruce Sutter struck him out to end the series. Yeah. And I said, "Oh, did they lose?" And mom said, "Yeah, they lost." And started to just kind of get interested in the history. I didn't know what the World Series was. And then the following summer, we got cable. I started watching Mets games very closely, Cubs games. Started to really become, obviously, a Brewers fan. Gorman Thomas, Robin Yount, Molitor, And then later in the decade, Hegera, Deer. But yeah, I've always said the 82 Brewers, in my opinion, are the most celebrated World Series losing team of all time. MLB did an official documentary on them about 10 years ago. They had a parade. They had a parade when they lost the World Series. So, yeah, I mean, I think this city still loves that team. And obviously we've had success the last 4 years. And I think we've had 6 playoff appearances since 2009. But that 82 team is still held in the highest regard here.
That was a strange year that those two teams were involved in like a 13-player deal with another team, I think, a 3-player, like multiplayer deal. And a lot of starters wound up on both St. Louis Cardinals and the Milwaukee Brewers roster. Ironically, they were just to face one another in the end. So if they stood pat, who's to say they still might have been in the series together? Also, the Brewers were an American League team back then, if anybody recalls. Yeah, before switching leagues. Yeah. One of Bud's babies, one of Bud's ideas. It's crazy. Well, and then he only had to do the same thing with the Astros to make it even again. So just leave the game alone.
So what's the love fest? A kid from Milwaukee, what's the love fest with the Mets? Because in Philly, they might not take kindly to this. But
yeah,
share us this love for the New York Mets. Did you just come again? Did somebody give you a Mets T-shirt, or did you see a logo, or something? That was your first hat? Because so Philadelphia really wants to know what the love fest is with the Mets.
I know people are starting to question why I'm on, but anyway, here's what happened. May of '84. May of '84, we got cable, and I was always outside playing baseball. The cable guy saw me, saw that I had a glove on, calls me in. He literally takes the TV guide and takes a highlighter and he starts highlighting all the baseball games. And, you know, all the superstations were Cubs, Braves, Mets. So we'd get, you know, Cubs, and this is, you know, the Cubs didn't have lights. So we get Cubs games in the afternoon,
yeah.
Braves and Mets at night. Brewers weren't on a ton because they didn't do home games back then in this market. So my grandparents are from Brooklyn and they lost the Dodgers. And then in the early 60s, they moved to Wisconsin, and then they lost the Braves. So my grandma didn't want me rooting for the Braves. And the Cubs weren't on at night, so the only other option I had was the Mets. And the first game I ever saw was Cincinnati at the Mets. The Mets won. A friend of mine was a big Daryl Strawberry fan. I just decided I'm a Mets fan, and that's been now, what, 37, 38 years. 2 years later, we won the World Series. I thought we would win 4 or 5 in the next 10 years. That did not happen. My kids are Mets fans. My sister owns a Mets cap, if that means anything. But I love Philly. If you're listening on radio, you don't realize that I'm currently wearing right now a Brent Celek jersey because he won me a fantasy championship in 2009. So he's my guy. I love the city of Philadelphia. I was in Philadelphia on my birthday in 2016 when the Mets won the wild card, and it was Ryan Howard's last weekend. I was there. I was 30 feet away from Jim Brewer, and the Phillies fans that were next to me just – said, you know, how much they love this city. I love Philadelphia. If I ever move out there, I'll still be a Mets fan, but I'll be at Citizens Bank Park a ton. And I do have a soft spot in my heart for all things Philadelphia.
Well, the connection to your grandparents in Brooklyn, anything dealing with family and baseball, let's face it, we can all here in Philadelphia forgive you for being a Mets fan. But if there's anyone familiar with my blogs from World Series chronology on a daily basis, I continue to if the topic of conversation happens to deal anything with the Mets, I spell Mets with a small M, lowercase. Ooh. It's just my own little joke towards all my Met fan friends because we all respect one another. We do.
I love small it. M. Hey, tell us about this car issue. We saw about it. Get into this. This is really interesting, man. I mean, Well, there was a special person that really opened up the get into that.
All right. So on Monday morning, I was actually this is actually a true. All of this is true, by the way. On Monday morning, I was about to go to the grocery store, and I just decided, you know, it's been a couple days since I got the mail. I'm going to go get the mail. And I got this letter from a lawyer. I usually just toss those. I don't have a lawyer. I don't understand why I'm getting any solicitation. Yeah, I opened it because, I recognized the name. So I opened it, and it's the cover letter said regarding anonymous gift. I'm like, oh, maybe someone sent me like a $10 gift card or something. So I opened it up I have it right here. I'll paraphrase. It says, thank you for all you do for your mom and the Utopian Baseball Universe. Your strength is astounding. Please accept this check as a thank you. It's donated in hopes you purchase a used car and allow yourself some freedom. Your heart is golden. We love you. Look, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry right now, but I did that day and my sister cried and I shared it with a couple friends, and I don't know who did this, and I don't want to know because they wanted to be anonymous, and I just thank them. I still don't know.
Wow.
How something like this can happen.
It's an outpouring that's well deserved, Joey. I've known you for about a year now. You seem to be one of the most genuine people that I've had the pleasure of meeting. So I'm sure that all
thank
this
you.
Is, you know, and the fact of the matter is, you didn't do anything to garner this help. But the fact of the matter is, you in the Karma Cafe will continue to pass these things on, and that's why you're gifted with this type of outpouring. You know, you're a great guy.
I don't even like to ask for extra ketchup at McDonald's. That's how I am. I take what life gives me, and when I saw something like this, I was just blown away. And so I guess my life is going to change here in the next couple of days. I haven't spent any of it yet. I'm just still kind of in dream mode. I don't know. It's an unreal feeling. Mm-hmm. And then the funny thing is, so this happened on a Monday morning. 24 hours later, I opened my spam folder in Facebook, and I got a message from whoever is behind this. And it said, you're going to get a piece of mail. Don't throw it away. And I almost did.
Right.
Wow.
So I wrote him back and I said, well, thank you. I almost did. I don't know if you've ever met me in person, but thank you. I don't know what else to say.
You know, the first thing I got to say on something like that is, you know, we throw the seeds of out there in life and we never know who we're touching, you know, and when you hear a story like this, you just say to yourself, you know what? It's worth just keep continuing doing what I'm doing each day, because I don't know who I'm reaching out there. You know, you're saving somebody, and somebody, you know, took it and said, you know what? This guy turned my life around or something. Or, you know, I always, you know, say that the minute you give up on a dream, some guy with a shabby jacket will hit two coins in your slot machine and he hit your whole lotto. So, I mean, what you did is simply amazing. And like Sal said, that the Karma Coffee House will keep on going.
On that topic, too, I can personally validate what you just said, Mark, because Joey, being the Utopian Baseball Universe originator, he was my connection to you. Getting in touch with him with the baseball pages and our social media contact, he got me in touch with you, who, again, you wound up, you know, bringing along Mayor.
So in other words, I made you money by placing a bet.
Well, no. In the very beginning, before we started the show, he connected me with you. We started to talk. Matter of fact, when we did our inaugural show, he was a caller, Joe, if you remember. You called in.
Yeah.
And, you know, you blessed our presence with our first show. And then we did yours, too, right after that. So this is sort of like coming full circle. And regardless of how it happened, it's a win-win for everybody, because exposure is the lifeblood, as we all know, for our shows. But, Joey, you do yours on StreamYard, your Utopian Cafe, which gives everybody a visual also. And we have the similar situation with Facebook Live temporarily.
Sure.
Frankly speaking, sports, Keith Engel, he recently made an announcement that his affiliation with who he was in touch with bought channels on Roku or Hulu. I forget which one. So he's actually on TV. I was just curious, is there any option for you to do that with StreamYard, to latch on to somebody that gets a TV channel?
I mean, if there's anyone listening to this now or watching that wants to put me on TV, I'm not going to say no. So right now I do a talk show every Tuesday night called Having a Catch with Joey Buchholz. It goes live within the Facebook group, Utopian Baseball Universe, and YouTube. We'll get anywhere from 2 to 50 views a week. And that's, you know, day of or within 24 hours. I don't look at it usually after that. But yeah, I mean, I've had friends say that they'd be interested in seeing me do something like that, or radio or podcasts. Definitely something I'm interested in.
I'm just curious. Are you familiar? I think Frank had no bearing in it at all. He just was the recipient of some good luck because of his affiliation with whoever he was doing his pods with. So I was just curious if you reached out to StreamYard, could they give you some insight with that? I mean, because I'm curious.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, well, StreamYard is kind of like Zoom, where it's just a tool I use to get out there. So I can use it to invite guests in. I pay X amount a month, and they give me unlimited streaming, and I can go to multiple formats. So I don't know if StreamYard is in the you know, broadcast business per se, but I think they just give us the tool to kind of do what we're doing. But I don't know. I think it's something I'm just going to have to research a little bit closer.
Yeah, because I'm curious, you know, too. I might reach out to Keith myself. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, you know, Joey, with your last name, I imagine if you go to Boston, probably in the North End, playing off that last name, a lot of free dinners.
Well, and the funny thing is that when Clay threw his no-hitter, it was his second major league start, everyone was texting me, is that any relation? I'm actually related to Tony Conagallaro. He was my grandfather's second cousin.
Wow.
So growing up, people always ask, like, oh, is your mom related? And she would say, yeah. Like, she never met him because I think he's from the Massachusetts area or the East Coast. And obviously, I never met him, but there is a connection to Boston. And then when Clay Buchholz threw the no-hitter, I was like, yeah, it just seems funny that all these Boston ties keep happening within the family.
Conagallaro was the fastest to 100 homers in a career. It's a shame. I think Mike Marshall was the guy that beamed in. It's a shame he was never the same. He could have been the next record holder. He was all that. Little guy, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've read a couple books about him. He's, you know, when I created the Utopian Baseball Universe, I wanted to create rosters that had legends and favorites and current stars, and I said, I got to put Tony C on the Red Sox. So, you know, he's not getting at-bats every day over Ted Williams, but he's getting starts every now and then.
Yeah. Listen, with respect to where was it? I just had it written down. I just checked with the Keith Engel page, and he's TGI Sports, which is probably a lot like StreamYard. And then, like I said, they somehow garnered some contract with Roku TV, I believe. So, again, they weren't a TV provider either. So I'm going to look into it myself, but maybe we'll talk about this in the future, you and
nice.
I personally. These hats I have, you got any takers for a trade? These hats that I put on your page. If not, I'm going to donate them and tell me how.
Why don't you post it again? Because and I'll pin it. I actually have the ability to pin it, so I'll pin it for a couple of days, and I'll say that, you know, we're looking for some takers here, and I actually have, like, I don't know if you can see them in the back.
I've got probably
100 hats.
Yes.
And,
oh my god!
Yes.
So I think I'm good, and the championship gold there for the fantasy football, but. Put it up again today,
okay.
Sal, and I'll pin it this evening for you.
And it's all self-explanatory, the four or so that I have and I wish to trade, and I give the names of the ones I will trade for.
That's a man cave if I've ever seen one. Imagine making breakfast in the morning. Don't let that Montreal Expos cat fall in the scrambled egg.
Hey, Joey. What's the algorithm that you apply to make your schedule for all those teams and games? God, that's extensive.
The first schedule I made in 2014 took 6 months. And now that I know what I'm doing, it takes me about 3 days.
Wow, that's great. Is there a specific math formula you put in, or is there a program you can just apply?
No, I'm just a numbers guy. 32 teams makes it easy because every team plays every other team 12 times in a division. Right. Play every other team 3 times. I make sure it's always division versus division so that I'm not, you know, doing a bunch of cross cells. And it's pretty easy now. I can knock it out in about 3 days.
See, and now we figured out how Joey became the genius that he is. And I cannot believe that hour goes by so fast, Joey. And it's been so much fun having you as a guest. Now, for people that want to see your utopian baseball universe, how do they find you?
So I've got a Facebook group called Utopian Baseball Universe. We've got a YouTube channel with the same name, Utopian Baseball Universe. I am on Twitter. I haven't been using it a ton, but you can find it's Utopian Joey. I'm on TikTok for, you know, it's just goofy Joey Parm. But most of the interactions and most of the content is within Facebook, Utopian Baseball Universe.
And I know in real life you're not a polygamist the way it means, but how can people find your book, Two Loves? How do they do that?
So it's out of print as far as like new copies, but you can find copies still on Amazon, eBay, independent bookstores. UW-Milwaukee Library has copies for sale. The library here in Grafton has copies for rent. So there's ways to get it. And I'm actually in the process of recording an audiobook and getting it up on Amazon as a PDF.
Oh, that's awesome. And you know, Joey, we owe you a big thank you, because before our premiere back on October 28th on WWDB of Liberty Bell Smack, you brought us on your show to help promote us. Yeah. And we never forgot that. And we can't thank you enough for all the support that you give us all the time. And I love the way you razz Mark on Facebook for being the worst handicapper, as I learned that you were phrased just recently from Fred Wallen that was on earlier. So I think it's great, and we thank you so much for being on the show. But before you leave, we'd love to do a Liberty Bell chant all together. Can you hang out just a few minutes so
Absolutely.
You can do that with us? Perfect. And I want to thank Fred Wallen also for being our guest. They were great today, weren't they, Salomon?
Absolutely.
They were great, and now Marianne's going to bet her house and get another house on a bet this week, right, Marianne?
I don't know if it's sports betting, but I seen he has poker in his thing. You know,
yeah.
I keep that poker face, so I might be better at that. I don't know.
I forgot to ask him. I wanted to know, is he banned in any casinos? Means he's the poker expert. You know?
That's okay. We'll put a mask on him.
A riverboat gambler.
Exactly. And then we had great guests this week with Fred Wallen and Joey Buchholz. And I do have to remind everybody again about our special friend, Mike Paternoster, that if you would like to make a donation to his family, again, you could do that by going to GoFundMe.com, click search, type in funeral expenses by Alvarez Aguilar families. That's Alvarez, A-L-V-A-R-E-Z, Aguilar, A-G-U-I-A-R. And next week, we have another big show. We have celebrity boxing creator, boxing promoter, producer, and author, Mr. Damon Feldman will be with us, along with two-time All-Star and World Series champion, Baseball Hall of Fame, Mr. Burt Blylevin. So that is going to be a very big show, guys, next week.
Oh, man, that's good. They just keep getting bigger and bigger each week. Joey and Fred today. Next week, we get these other guys. It just keeps going on. The Love Fest going on in Philadelphia. Their great producer, Brett, there. Sal's over there. You know, I just love it, man. You, Marianne, are the best in the business.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I thank you so much for that. And also a shout out to one of our big fans that's been on Facebook for a while, Mr. Mickey Delaney. Thank you so much every week for faithfully tuning into us and knowing that you're here every week, cheering us on along with our guests and supporting us and writing in on Facebook. Thank you so much for that. And you could do that every week if you follow us on Liberty Bell Smack page. Yeah. And or you could go right to the WWDBAM860 Facebook page. And as you're watching our Facebook Live, you can go ahead and write in questions and we'll be happy to get them on the air for you. And I know that it's come to that time that we have to say goodbye, guys, here on Liberty Bell Smack. And if you're going to be in this area, I don't know about Philly, but I'm right here in New Jersey, and I can tell you, possible nor'easter, possible miss. Who knows for this weekend? So stay safe for our sponsor, JT Auto Body. He's going to be one busy man, possibly. I look at it that way.
I'll try to take it easy for you guys when it's about 80 degrees in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. With that, we do have to say goodnight. You've been listening to Liberty Bell Smack right here on WWDB. It's that lip smacking, trash talking good Philadelphia style. And from Mr. Mark Mancini and from Mr. Sal Tartaglia and myself, Marianne Costello, we wish you love and peace. But before we go, we have our chant, Joey. This is where you come in.
Mickey
we
Delaney, our biggest fan.
We count down to one and we say Liberty Bell Smack. Are you ready?
Yes, all we right. are.
Here we go. Five.
Four. Three. Two. One.
Liberty
Bell. Smack. That's what I'm talking about.